chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling them flares, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again, move little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock like I told you, I'm doing this for dreams we pursue.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio, once again with your host Nick Burnaby of theantimedia.org. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on UCY.TV, and I'm also joined by my co-host DB. How are you doing tonight, bro?
I'm doing well, man.
Good to hear, man. It's always nice to have a good day, right?
It is, man. It's always nice to have a nice day here. I mean, perfect weather, not a chemtrail in the sky I could see today.
Yeah, it's kind of rare. I got to have a little bike ride today and cruise around town a bit. I mean, it was nice, man. And unfortunately, what's going on out in Eastern Europe right now is probably going to turn into a living hell for a lot of people.
Right.
If we don't find a way to, you know, diffuse the situation that's going on over there.
Well, actually, interesting stuff's been going on from what I've been reading. This whole giant proxy war they've been trying to ramp up and all this saber rattling looks like it's just going to fizzle out and not work. And the reason why is the Ukrainians don't want to fight the Russians and the Russians don't want to fight the Ukrainians because they don't understand what this war is about, and everybody's starting to see it's more about the elites. And they're just not going to be behind it. All these Asian provocateurs that tried to start something off with sniping people and things, that, you know, either those guys got caught or pulled back and the agenda didn't work, man. They're not going to allow a giant, huge war to erupt. At least it doesn't look like it.
Let's hope not, man, because we're starting to see now from what I was seeing today in the media and hearing on the radio and this, that, and the other. They were going off this talking point coming from, I think it was the Daily Mail or one of these British, or it was the Independent.UK or whatever. And, you know, these guys are trying to say that the Soviet Union is trying to rebuild back on what it was, and that, you know, they're basically slapping us in the face and that we have some kind of obligation to protect Ukraine, which, you know, unfortunately, because of how stupid our leaders are, technically we do have a treaty with these people. But now it comes down to this. This treaty is between a couple of bureaucrats that decided to do things that we may or may not agree with. You know, and that's where I really don't get off on any of this stuff with this, oh, they're elected and they get to make these decisions for us. We don't get a choice in this stuff. If I had a choice, I wouldn't say, well, if Russia invades Ukraine, then we have to come to the aid of Russia. That's just not something that I would want to do. But they've made this agreement for us, and now if something does pop off, guess what? They're gonna have to send somebody in there.
Right. I mean, it's going to fizzle out. And the reason why is you could see when the Russian civilians that came in basically and pretended to be Ukrainian and then went against the Ukrainian troops. And then there was talks of defection and everything like that. the Ukrainian people, they're already it's over in their own minds that they're Russian already. At least a big part of the East already figures it's a foregone conclusion. And all these Ukrainian soldiers that are coming in, they're just going to – all they're going to do is just become Russian citizens. They're just going to fold them into the Russian army. They all speak Russian. They're all culturally identical for the most part. There's some differences, but I mean, you're talking about very close cousins here, and this giant military buildup and Cold War thing that they wanted to happen, it's not going to. It's the people are not going to fight, and they're not going to die for these banker wars anymore. The only way I think a major war will happen is if you get a majorly brainwashed country, and it has to be only a handful in the world that would have the population this brainwashed. Would simply just fight because they run out of resources. That's the only way I could see something huge happening, and this is not that case.
Well, the Russians are pretty brainwashed.
They are, but they're still not that brainwashed. I mean, you do have RT, you do have all kinds of these media outlets, and while, yeah, they are affected by crony capitalism and the mafia, just like every other media outlet in the whole world is, it seems like they're just open in general about the entire world, whereas we sugarcoat everything.
Yeah. You know, the big grief with these guys is that their press freedom is, like, terrible.
Right. And, well, for their own country.
Yeah. unfortunately, it seems like our government is trying to emulate what they're doing and what China's doing. In fact, one of these officials actually said that the model that we're working towards is what China uses for this, you know, that great firewall thing they have.
Right.
And there was actually a U.S. official saying that was the model that they were using, you know. So it's no joke that they're coming down on all this communications and all this information, all this internet stuff, because then otherwise everyone would be flocking to the TV media and everyone would be full blown ready to go to war with Ukraine right now and with Russia.
Yep, and there's calls from people, and there are always these useful talking head former diplomat types that are calling for boots on the ground in the Ukraine to fight Russian troops. This is just ridiculous. I mean, do they really want a defection within maybe even a NATO military force that they're going to be dropped down there and go, what are we here for? This is not a clash of cultures even. This is literally just people fighting over billions of dollars in future economics. And we're never going to see a piece of that ever. It's never going to filter down to anyone dying. I promise you on that.
And it sure as hell isn't going to filter back to the U.S. citizen at all.
Not at all. There's no energy security we need. I mean, we do not need natural gas and oil from Russia at all. We're basically covering our EU partners because they need, what, like half of their energy needs from Russia? So that would be the only reason, and it'll be just another time when we get involved, just like Vietnam, to save the French, this time to save most of the EU, because they'll be starved out when winter comes.
Yeah, man, it's that Russian winter that you can't play with, and we do not want to be in there anywhere near that place. And we've already made the same mistake in Afghanistan.
Yep.
Right? We've already made the same mistake in Vietnam. You know, these are both places that had already been, you know, the French were in Vietnam before we were and they failed.
Well, that's why we went in. The only reason we went in, to save them.
And then the Russians were in Afghanistan. They failed. And then we went in there. You know, so now are we going to make the same mistake that Napoleon and Hitler both made and try to go into Russia and get caught in that winter? I don't think so, man. That would be very, very stupid. I don't know of any American that I know would actually be down to go and fight that kind of war. We're not down for that stuff anymore. We're done with it.
Well, they can't initiate it. If they were to try and initiate a draft, I don't understand how they could do it anymore. I just couldn't see it happening. I mean, you can't see a person today willingly giving their child up for that. This is a voluntary military at this point, bar none. You know, the Selective Service is there only in name. I mean, that's really more if we were invaded, then of course everybody would defend themselves. But to try to do these imperialistic wars anymore for nothing, for what people know will never benefit them, I mean, they're just not into it anymore.
Well, you know, the scary part is, though, is that we've all – any male that's over 18, you know, you sign that contract.
Sure.
You know, they send it to my brother. My little brother just got it. And – He's like, what is this? Why does it say that if I don't reply to it, I could go to jail? I'm like, right. Yeah, dude, that's basically your draft paperwork, bro. Like, that when you sign that and send that in, that means they can send your ass to war if they start a war up and sure. They need the people. They can draft your ass up and send you in.
Right. Which they can do, but, you know, when that was initiated in the 60s, the internet was a dream of Philip K. Dick at that point and was completely unheard of. And computers were just gigantic building size machines at that point. So now that we have free flow of information, now that we know what the real agenda is, could you imagine, like, if they sent something to me, would I be conscientious objector? No, I would start a massive – it's just a lawsuit, dude. That's all it is. People know what it is now to have contracts done verbatim without having it read over with a lawyer. I mean, that's a moot contract. I didn't have a lawyer present with me when I signed that. And I was threatened at the point of a gun.
Yeah, man. In the private sector, they call that extortion, don't they?
I think that's extortion and intent to commit bodily harm and attempted murder and kidnapping.
Conspiracy to commit kidnapping, you know, I mean, who knows? There's how many things would we get in trouble for trying to say, hey, bro, sign this paper to go fight in a war if we decide, or you're going to go to jail. I mean, we're going to kidnap you. No, dude, that kind of stuff doesn't fly in the free world, in the modern world. No, dude, it shouldn't fly. Now, the scary thing is if they were able to clamp down on the info and then they're able to launch this big propaganda war, that's the only way that it can happen. Under the current circumstances, you're right, it wouldn't happen, but it could if they did some drastic things. And we'll know and we'll see it coming. And that, right. That's why I'm glad that we've been able to fight off these grabs at the internet. You know, CISPA, SOPA, you know, the TPP, it seems like we're getting some big resistance with that. Well, I'm glad for now that we're able to keep it protected, but everyone's got to remember that they're constantly going to be coming after the internet. They're going to be changing the names of all these bills, you know, and all this stuff. So that's what we got to watch out for.
And but the funny thing is it's predictable. It's easy to see. It's easy to maneuver around it. It's easy to innovate around it. For instance, Condoleezza Rice now is, you know, associated on the board of Dropbox. Well, guess what happened to Dropbox yesterday? They took a nosedive in users. I mean, who in their right mind would keep your data on the cloud anyway? That's dumb to begin with. If it's anything that could do anything to your reputation, that should be in a external hard drives or other things like that. The fact that she's on the board of that means it's already crony. It's beyond crony capitalism. This is marriage between big business and big government, and now they're buying startups left and right. So you can be sure that if something gets big, it's bought, move on to the next startup. Whoever's, you know, this is why I wish somebody would just invent, even if it was very basic, a Facebook that just didn't track you. If somebody would come up with that and get this thing going, they would kill. Just ad content. That's all I want. Just no tracking. I'll look at your ads. I'll click on your links. Just no tracking, no biometrics, no facial rec. These are tools of the trade for maniacs.
You mean respect the privacy?
Oh, you mean respect my right, my actual natural born rights? The same thing that the people that invent this technology and use it to do what? Suppress the oppressed? Is this the way we're going to move forward as a race, as a human race? I mean, we're going backwards and we're going into a new dark age if that's going to be the case.
Exactly, man. Now, here's the thing that scares me about Ukraine, is that it was only a few days ago when they were calling these guys in Ukraine pro-Russian protesters, right? But all of a sudden, it seemed overnight, happened about 2-3 days ago, all the media, as if they were taking orders from one person, which basically they are, they all started calling these guys militants, pro-Russian militants. They went from protesters to militants.
Well, they're
which
armed.
Basically means this. Let's remember that America is the beacon of human rights. We're the beacon of democracy. We're the shining light on the hill, according to our Congress and our president. And we don't allow for people to kill protesters. And we don't stand for that kind of thing. We just like what we did in Ukraine, we stood up for the protesters, right? But now what's happening is just like what happened in Egypt. Now the new government of Ukraine is going out to the east, and they're getting let's face it, they've killed a few of these protesters. They're probably going to kill a lot more. And now the media is switching the agenda and saying, okay, well, now they're called – now they're militants. Now they're terrorists. Now they're not protesters anymore. They're militants. So now they can justify it. In fact, I heard Jay Carney in a statement say that they're trying to figure out more ways to support the government of Ukraine as they kill these guys. You know, so it's just another slap in the face of hypocrisy. It's just another just flat out it just totally exposes what these guys are doing, where it's for democracy when it's convenient, when it's inconvenient, when it's politically expedient. They don't care about democracy. They don't care if you're a fascist dictatorship. They'll support you, you know, and you're just able to see it so clearly now. You know, that it's just not even a question of if or are these people corrupt. They are.
It's really what they're doing. It's really simple what's happened, man. It's like the three super states have come to a collision point. And for the longest time, everybody rightfully assumed that the US/EU/NATO was way ahead in tech and they would win any confrontation with any super state one-on-one. But because the geopolitics changed, because these revelations have come out, because people understand that what's going on in our leadership base is beyond just domination of the world, but actually transhumanism, changing the globe through GMOs, changing it through robotics and drones and hacking into everything and controlling everything that's artificial, and then eventually biohacking. I mean, these are things that are not going to just change this power structure, but humanity for the worse, because we need to evolve and adapt to a changing environment naturally and do that over the long term. We can't allow the elites to hop, skip, and jump and then leave everyone else in the dust. And that's generally what's going on. And the Russian leadership and the Chinese leadership understand this. And I believe that they think that they'll be left behind or eliminated themselves. And I believe that that's what's going on now, is you're seeing basically two other super states realize that the one we're in, Nick, is just ridiculously all powerful. And if it's not checked, it will become a monopoly worldwide. It'll just become one country and one government, and just like they've always said all along, the new order of things.
And then all we see is an arms race and a proxy war and a military-industrial complex buildup. And let's face it, when we start seeing these countries, when it turns into another arms race, when China starts making this massive buildup, and they start spending as much money as we do on defense, that's not going to be pretty. And just like the rest to a lot of the world, it's not very pretty what we're doing. Yeah, the average American citizen doesn't realize it, or they don't care because they're living decent. But unfortunately, if this does turn into an arms race, we're going to see these proxy wars spill over. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see it spring up in Mexico, and definitely in the Caribbean and Middle America, South America. And it's going to be just like we saw before, where, oh, the communist threat and the red threat and this, that, and the other thing. When in reality, it's just a military-industrial complex buildup by both sides. It's a transfer of wealth from the poor people, not only in the U.S., which right now we're the ones paying the majority of the money that funds most military activity in the world, but soon it's going to be the Chinese taxpayer that's going to be, shouldering this debt. And the Russian taxpayer that's going to be shouldering this debt.
Right.
And it's all unsustainable, man. And it's just going to lead to very dumb things happening.
And the thing is that they'll throw it on America first, but only if they can disarm us. And if they can't disarm us, which looks like they're not going to be able to, then they go to plan B. So plan A was disarm us and then basically leverage a bunch of land to pay off our debt to China. And now it looks like plan B is that we're going to allow China to own our solar infrastructure. I don't know if you've read about this, Nick, but they've been saying all along that we need gas, oil, and everything else and shale drilling, and they know all along that our solar tech's at the point now where we can go all solar. And so what they're going to do is install this whole new infrastructure right under our noses with private interest from China, and then they're just going to basically drop an EMP off over the U.S., knock out all the old crap, and then China's going to own our energy infrastructure, and then debt is paid. How does that sound?
Well, isn't that what Harry Reid is trying to do over at the
exactly.
Bundy Ranch?
Yeah. So if you want to get in on, if you want to be a millionaire right now, start buying up solar everything. Just buy $1,000 chunk in every company you can buy a stock in that has anything to do with solar. If China's behind this, if we're allowing direct investment, then we know for sure that our old tech above ground, you know, all the wires you see in all those substations that run off nuclear power generators and coal plants, those are all going to be deleted by a solar flare, in quotations. You know what I mean? A solar flare will hit us. It'll knock it out. It'll keep the solar infrastructure going, but China's going to own it. So get in on that right now. I'm calling it. You want to be a millionaire, buy solar right now. Just buy it up randomly, whatever. Buy it up. $1,000 stock will probably be worth $100,000 in 5 years.
Well, you know, the good news is that the solar tech is getting to the point now where it's efficient, you know, and it's cost effective.
Yep.
And that's the good
news. And it's
made
in China. And China owns all the rare earth that makes that the panel. And then it's far more efficient than they've said. They've already had many generational jumps. It just hasn't filtered over yet because it's not on an industrial scale. But now that big business will get involved, you're going to see all of the grid powered by solar. All of it.
Well, yeah, man. If Harry Reid's over there, you know, pushing for it, you know that that's what's coming next.
Yep.
And they're not going to make a cylinder flop again, so they're going to privately finance this stuff through the corporate giants. And then they're
from
just going to use –
Chinese money.
Instead of getting loans from the government like Cylindra did, which they got like, what, $500 million or something retarded like that?
Yeah.
They're going to get the Chinese to finance this stuff, and then they're just going to use government favors. And that's exactly what they did in Nevada, where Harry Reid's son, forget his name, who cares, but he basically secured this land for the Chinese for like pennies on the dollar compared to what it was worth. So that's what they're going to do, is they're going to use the crony money, they're going to use the politicians to get them sweet deals, zero income tax or zero property tax, whatever it's going to be. You know, that's, you know, what's going to happen. Yep. And now let's look at it from the other side, is like the way that we should be going about this stuff is community-oriented energy co-ops and or you know, having your own solar on your own house or your own alternative energy on your own house. That's ideal. But if you don't have the space or the money to do it yourself, then try to set up a community-based energy, you know, solar array or whatever. And then you don't have it in this corporate control where the Chinese are owning your neighborhood's power.
Right. I mean, this is what's going on. They know that they can't disarm people. So they're not going to be able to do a military takeover or actually occupy any land, like take the West Coast like they'd been planning forever. So plan B is they'll just sell us out piecemeal, just like Greece was sold out to the banksters. Those same banksters will sell us out to the Chinese banksters, and that'll be it. So this is the future. Something's got to be done to avert a war between us and China, because that's the end of the world, and it is self-preservation. But these dudes are making trillions also. So get in on it. It's inevitable, or we'll fight them. So if you think it sucks that we're selling out to the Chinese, cool. But the alternative is the worst invasion you'll ever see in history, D-Day times a million. I don't know. It would just be awful. So this is a better alternative, I guess. But just get in on it. Know what's going on. And know that the BLM will continue to assert its dominance because they need to sell off all this land now for solar.
Yeah, man, and you know, I doubt this Bundy Ranch thing. It's not the end of it.
Beginning.
You saw the amount of agents out there. There was a lot.
Yep. 200.
They had snipers, massive amounts of helicopters, and all this stuff. So, I mean, this kind of thing will probably become more common, and it's gonna be this escalating. You know, not only having these tensions east and west. Now we got these tensions that are clearly coming through. According to Patty, that was on our show on Monday, I mean, these guys are full fledged, ready for a revolution. These militia guys, they're there already. They're already like, okay, let's do this thing right now.
But nobody wants it. Nobody wants that. We don't need. You know, if she was under the impression it was inevitable, which I hope it's not, because it would be awful. It'd be millions and millions of people that would probably perish. And the country would be fractured and never the same, and probably it would be even under more control, something like Hunger Games, where there'd be this all-powerful Fed. You don't want that. The best thing is just if slowly but surely we could wake up all these people and it would organically change. And it is. It's so slow. It's slow motion. And then they're speeding up because they see that they don't have a lot of time. You know, people are going to find out what's going on. It's just a race for the mind now. It is an info war, but it's more than that. It's a mind war now.
Yeah, and, you know, China has a really, really strict media policy. I mean, journalists get killed there, kidnapped all the time. I mean, anyone that
tries to... House arrest is big too, yeah.
Yeah, house arrest. And I mean, I saw a documentary about a couple of bloggers from China, and man, they were harassed. When there was a congressional meeting in Beijing, they kicked the guy out of Beijing for a couple of weeks. I mean, they take little tiny threats, little people that are like Twitter journalists and stuff like that. They take those pretty seriously, man. They're really strict over there, like we mentioned earlier, the information and the truth will keep us safe as long as we can keep the access to that information and to that truth. And another thing we've talked about multiple times on this program is building our way out of this internet and into a new internet that's a lot more free and open source. You know, because right now, let's face it, most of these ISPs, the internet service providers, they have kind of a monopoly on internet access. So if Cox Cable, Time Warner, any of these guys want to cut your cable off, cut your internet off, well, what are you going to do?
Right.
If there's no one else that's going to service your area, I mean, what are you going to do? I've been in that situation before where I was at a place where I didn't have internet, and it was a pain in the ass to end up getting internet. I had to pay a lot of money to have someone come out and actually wire internet into my place. And it's just, you know, the access to internet, even though for us, like most people have it, it's not even that good, like in a lot of places, man. And the U.S. actually has pretty poor internet compared to some places in Europe.
Well, it's actually because, you know, the companies themselves keep the bandwidth down. We could all have T1 lines right now, which is more or less instantaneous. You can watch live TV, you know, on probably four or five monitors. It's ridiculous. We have that in colleges where if you go live in a dorm on a big university, you can have a T1 line, and it's just lightning fast. And we could have that all across into each individual house. But, you know, it's just about keeping bandwidth down and keeping competition where they can go, oh, I have this bandwidth. It's just ridiculous. It's the worst of capitalism when that happens.
Yeah, and so you got – well, obviously what you also have here too with these ISPs is a lot of cronyism as well. And we see that big merger going on between Comcast and Time Warner, I think it was. I mean, this thing is going to be crushing innovation, crushing competition. So, I mean, short term, it looks like our internet quality is probably going to go down until some viable alternatives pop up. And I mean, I don't know what it's got to be, but it's got to be rethought. We can't have these wired connections anymore. I mean, think of how many people have wireless, man. If you're in an apartment building and a bunch of these people have wireless, I mean, how many do you actually need? People aren't really sharing their wireless. You know what I'm saying? Right. So right now we have like this protectionist idea of internet. When we at our house, we're like, oh no, well, we're going to put password on our Wi-Fi, which I have password on my Wi-Fi too. But I think what we need to do is start making it more widely available, man. If everybody left their router on, I mean, you wouldn't even really need a phone connection. Anywhere you go, you'd be able to connect to Wi-Fi, even while you're driving.
And there's a lot – there are places. I believe South Korea and Seoul, they were doing a pilot program where they were going to offer – they were going to blanket the city with free Wi-Fi. And why not? You know what I mean? It's going to increase productivity. Companies are still going to make plenty of money with internet. Why? Because you'll never get quality for streaming, for gaming mobily. People are still going to want Ethernet connection for movies and for gaming. So you don't need to worry about killing off the market. The market is already going that way anyway. You know, free Wi-Fi is something that a country should get behind if they want their people to be informed and alert to what's going on. And I guess in South Korea, they can trust people enough there.
Yeah, man, and let's face it, that's a product. I mean, if we're going to talk about actually having a democracy or actually having a society that's going to be free, I think the internet should be part of that, you know, stuff that the society should naturally have. and should naturally provide for, because that will help you maintain, you know, legitimacy. It'll help you maintain transparency and make sure that the people know what's going on so they can actually trust what's going on. Because right now, people just don't trust it because everything's so secretive. I mean, and think about it. Obama ran on a platform of being the most transparent presidency ever. And the reason why he ran on that platform, because judging by the polls, it says, okay, well, people want us to be transparent, so let's say that we're going to be transparent. Well, that's the thing. People do want us to be transparent. That's why a lot of people that are former Obama supporters are so pissed off that he's like one of the, actually the most secretive president, you know, because that's what people want. People want to know what's going on. People want to be able to be participating in what's going on. Right now, the reason why nobody votes, nobody gets involved, is because everyone's rejected by the system. When we vote, they don't listen anyway, so why the hell do we vote?
Right, and why would you participate in the system? Then you cannot complain. It's funny how people love to use reverse logic. It's so ingrained into their mind that you cannot complain if you didn't vote. No, in fact, I can. Since you voted, it means that you acquiesce to whatever they're doing. It means you are okay with the system. You voted for a party that was part of the system. So you were a cog in it. If you do not vote, you're saying very clearly, not only do I not care, but I'm not going to participate because I know it's illegitimate.
Now, the sad part is that in this country, whether you do participate or you don't, you still got to pay the price when it comes down to the tax man when Obamacare comes to collect. You know, well, and that's unfortunate, man, because, you know, I didn't sign up for Obamacare, but I mean, I hope to be able to afford health insurance, but right now I can't.
Why should you have to afford it? Why, when we spend so much money on destroying the world all around the world for the good of the few, that we can't divert a little smidgen of that and provide it free for everyone, just like they do in every other first world industrialized country? It's just ridiculous how well the dumbing down program has worked here.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's probably because most of these other countries in Europe and places like that don't have these huge bloated foreign policy budgets, man. And the other thing is that these countries are a bit smaller. Northern Europe is probably the best model of kind of like a social democracy that's actually kind of working, you know?
Right.
But of course, in France, England, Spain, you got the same problems that we have here because these people have huge bureaucracies. France and England have big foreign policy budgets, and they suck the people dry there as well.
If you're getting sucked dry? See, I've watched a bunch of documentaries about this kind of stuff where Norwegians are like, I take home only 30% of my paycheck. Are you unhappy about that? Hell no, I'm not unhappy, because everything is taken care of and the government can't use it for whatever they want. It all must be accounted for because the tax is so high and in your face. In the U.S., we like to say, well, you don't have that much taxes here. You know what I mean? Dude, you get taxed to death here. People have no idea. And does anyone know where it goes? Nope. Nobody has a clue where any of their money goes, and you're not seeing it. I challenge you to go find out where any of your tax money even goes. If you pay into disability, did you know you might not get it if you don't reach a certain threshold? So what do they do with it? You know, there's so many little stipulations, and it's really affecting people now who have two part-time jobs and they're underemployed and they can't reach this criteria to get all these benefits. And then this money's still being absorbed. They're still paying in thousands a year. They just can't tap into it if something were to happen. See, in a country like Norway, if you get sick, you're good, and then you get a holiday for like 3 months, and then you get another 3 months' pay. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. We don't have things like that. I understand we have 300 million people, but come on.
Well, in the U.S., what they do is they split all these taxes up. Yeah, they're like, oh, no, we don't pay that many taxes in the U.S. Well, every little tiny thing that anyone does, they nickel and dime you on every right. little thing you buy and everything you do. You get new tires, okay, that's three different fines.
Disposal
for getting new
fee,
tires.
Environmental
yeah.
fee.
I mean, you want to drive, okay, here's your permit. Here's your – you need an ID, okay, here's the money. You got to pay for that. You need insurance, okay, pay – you know, all this
carbon
stuff.
Carbon tax is coming to California, so you know what that's going to do to that state tax we pay now? We pay like 18.4 and it's going to jump to 33. So like all gas will go up 15 cents a gallon just overnight.
And then let's talk about, I mean, how much tax do we pay on a gallon of gas here in California? Like 35 cents, 40 cents?
Like 80 or something like that.
Something ridiculous, man. And that's every gallon of gas. I mean, this is a huge, huge tax. And it's regressive too. Now, in Northern Europe, what they do is they clump all the taxes together so that, yeah, if you get hit with the 50% tax, then you're going to want to know where it's going. But here they nickel and dime you on the lowdown, and you don't even realize how much you're spending. You don't even realize how much that they're taking from you. And then, like you were saying, we don't know where the hell this money is going.
And I've done it before, you know, Nick, where I would look at back at how much I made, and I would put, you know, so much, I'd put like at least 90% on a credit card and go back and find out. And you can see it, and it'll even break down for you. And man, like, I would be spending like $10,000, $12,000 a year in tax. And that was, you know, that was just on my credit. That's just my credit card, man. Like, it's just huge, dude. Just the tax amounts for everything you buy.
Yeah, man. It's
and then insane. My income tax, too. So I would be paying 50% tax for the year.
And so we know what some of these taxes go to. And it's to keep up this military-industrial complex. And, you know, there was an article that came out, I think it was on Slate, one of these sites where you normally wouldn't see this kind of article. But there was people making the case that paying your income tax is actually immoral, basically, because this money is being used to kill people, and it's being used to do bad things, and it's being used to fund dictatorships. And it's used for black ops stuff, you know, black budget stuff that we don't even know what the hell is going on with the stuff,
right.
You know, so I don't know, man, lately I've been feeling like one of the best ways to commit a protest is to try to get out of as many taxes as you can, which kind of brings me to the point I wanted to make. Barter economy where you don't have to use dollars, I mean, is probably the best way to kind of circumvent the system is by bartering. And, you know, I think we need to build these barter systems up pretty soon here, pretty quickly. I mean, I know Craigslist is pretty big, and I know a lot of barters go on there, but we need to do a lot more and get a lot more people involved so that way, because you know that they're going to try to legislate against bartering or try to tax bartering and things like that.
Well, no, they're going to go electronic currency. We all know that. That's their end game is electronic currency with a chip. That's it. That's what it's all pushing towards. And then they have their total control grid, and then it's over. It's over. Then no amendment. The Constitution will be shredded and burned in front of our eyes because there's nothing anyone can do about it once they have you. Once anytime you have a job and anything you're paid for can be turned off and shut off, and you just be made homeless and more or less cut out of society, and all your friends and family just look at you and shun you because you can't work anymore. It's like the back in the old days where if you didn't have a reference from your past job, you could never work again, ever, ever, ever. So it's going to get back to that serfdom economy. It's just above slavery. It's where you think you're in a society that's free, but have you ever fallen off the wagon? You never can get back on it again.
And it's getting worse, man. We just did an article on this guy in Denver, and he got a ticket from the cops
for sitting
because he was sitting down on the sidewalk. And the cop comes up and he's like, "Hey, man, you've been warned. I talked to you last week. You said you hadn't been warned. I warned you last week. So, you know, here's your ticket."
For loitering or for sitting? I mean, loitering, I understand if the dude's just there all the time and the business owner's like, "Come on, get out of here."
He said it was something like vagrancy. Something like that.
Well, my friend personally, I got to tell you something. He got a ticket for profanity. Right here in San Diego, Nick, profanity.
What the hell is that? How is that a ticketable offense?
Apparently it's illegal to say F the cops and yell it at them, I guess, but...
Wow, I've never heard that before.
Yep. So profanity comes with about a $280 fine. Wow. You can go to court and beat it almost every time, but when he put the ticket on Facebook, I was just dying. Dying laughing, looking at it, and just thinking, man, you got to sue for harassment. You are the perfect guy because he is a African gentleman of Middle Eastern persuasion.
Man, we had down here at this OpSafe winter that we did in San Diego, we did two of them. And basically we gathered some clothes and some food for the homeless people to keep them warm in the winter and, you know, a bit of food. And a lot of people showed up and a lot of them were complaining. We were interviewing them. We were like, hey, what is the biggest thing that you guys wish that like we could help with? And a lot of them had different grievances. But pretty much about half of them said the cops, man. The cops are giving us tickets just for sleeping on the streets. I mean, what are we supposed to do? It's basically like they're making homelessness illegal. And we talked about this a while back. I think it was last Wednesday, actually. And it's just like Nazi ideology, man.
Well, Nick, if they get tickets and they're homeless, they don't have money. Then they get the like what'll like I guess if they run them, I mean then maybe they don't have an ID. I don't know how it works, but do they haul them off to jail because they have unpaid tickets for all this stuff, and then they go to jail, and then of course they've done their penance to society and they got their meal and their bed for the night, and then me and you paid for that night for them, which because we know it's a business, it's going to cost like $1,500 for them because like just like medical insurance, it's a big scam, and it's an industry. And that's what it is. It's revenue. It's revenue, 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 money. That's it. That's it. That's all it is.
It's compulsory business.
There's no good for society. I don't care if I see a bunch of dudes sleeping around. In fact, better yet, there's a bunch of – isn't there more – haven't we talked about this before that there's more empty homes than homeless?
Exactly, man. There's more empty houses. There's more buildings. I mean, in any city you go to, you're going to see a bunch of empty buildings with boarded up windows because the economy has gone to crap, right? And so what better place to allow these people to sleep? If all these rich middle classers don't want to see homeless people in the street, they'd rather not see the problem, then why not give them these buildings that are vacant and these houses that are vacant and let them have a place to, like – at least clean up, have a shave so that they actually have a chance of getting a job. Because half these let's look at the stats. About 45 to 55% of homeless people actually work. They have jobs. They're not just lazy bums like people like to say or like to think. These people are working people. They just have jobs that don't pay that well, or they have families that you know that the dude just can't afford to live at home. Right. The wife and the kids may have an apartment, but the dude's on the streets because he just can't afford to live there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or they don't, or he doesn't get along with the wife. I mean, one way or the other, or the wife doesn't get along with the guy. That's another thing. There's a lot of women on the streets that are victim of domestic abuse, man. People like to ignore these problems, and everyone likes to think that our tax dollars are going to help these people, when in reality, many, many times the tax dollars make the problem worse, man. Like just like with these cops, where they're giving them tickets, criminalizing homelessness, and a lot of these guys are ending up in jail, and, you know, a lot of the homeless are mentally ill, and looking at the statistics that we talked about a few weeks ago, it's the mentally ill that get abnormally killed by the police at abnormally high rates, you know, compared to everybody else. So, I mean, it comes from this Nazi philosophy, in my opinion, that came over in Operation Paperclip when the U.S. gave all the brains of the Nazi regime clemency, you know, in the United States. And it was that ideology of we need to filter out the sick and get rid of, you know, kill off the people that are mentally ill and stuff like the Nazis did. And so we're seeing that same pattern reappear here, where the cops are killing off the people with mental illness. They're treating the homeless people like criminals. I mean, this stuff has to stop, man. And it's a huge, huge social problem in this country. I mean, we have economic and all these foreign problems and stuff. But I mean, let's talk about this social problems, man. This is one of the biggest. And it doesn't get enough respect. And people just love to think that they're just lazy people. And it's just totally wrong, you know. And everyone, I mean, in their own community, you know.
It can happen to anybody. That's the thing, is that there are people right now that are homeless that do have degrees, or that just fell off the wagon of society, so to speak. Perhaps they were in a job that didn't give them much money, but they hadn't put in quite enough to get benefits. And so when they were laid off, they literally became homeless. You know what I mean? There are people like that. And when you fall off the wagon and maybe the best job you can get is minimum wage, you can't move out. Where are you going to move out on minimum wage here? You know what I mean? You can't do it. And if that's your, even if you're working full time and you're lucky if you get those hours, I know that Father Joe's Village is here, Nick, that there's lots of people living in those free or very subsidized apartments that go to a full time minimum wage job down there. And that's just where it's at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I got to take a tour of that place. You know, it's funny. One of our March Against Monsanto organizers works there. And, I mean, it's like a city, man. This guy, he's a Catholic, priest, I believe, Father Joe. And, he's got a city down there, man. He's got like a couple of acres worth of big buildings.
And it's a great vision. It's what we need, a bunch of those, and we could do that. Like with all these dilapidated buildings, it gives me a great idea. With Detroit basically being sold off piecemeal, I can go out there and get an old automotive factory, and there's plenty of people out there that have nowhere to go, and I can stack up beds and they can rebuild that place, and we can turn it into a giant organic hydroponic factory for free. All my labor will be free. It's just a place to stay for people, and we'll build it up. And then they'll get jobs there. They'll be all my employees in my new co-op. There are innovative ways where people can go if they just have just enough seed money to get it started. And there's places that are being sold out, and we can buy it. American citizens can buy it. Stop going to work and buying big screens. Start buying plots of land. Start getting old warehouses and using them so the people from across the ocean don't, and turn this into a place you don't even recognize in another decade.
Yeah, man, because any country that's facing a debt crisis like we are, you know how they like to say, oh, Greece is huge. Our debt ratio is worse than theirs.
Way worse. Way worse.
And Cyprus we already saw that they jacked 25% of everybody's money in the bank in Cyprus.
Yeah.
And then what they did in Greece is they basically sold out from underneath the people all the public infrastructure over to Goldman Sachs.
Right.
You know, and a lot of these people like to say, oh, it's privatization. Well, I guess you could say it's privatization, but it's kind of this quasi, you know, Goldman Sachs is one of these government, you know, quasi corporate entities. It's not by far a legitimate free market business. This thing, you know, we're talking about people that have prime ministers that used to work for them that are stationed all over Europe. You know what I mean? So that's what they're doing here, man. And they're collateralizing all this stuff. It's all debt. You know, and it's all this land is being sold off. My buddy just told me up in Idaho that the rumors are true that they are building a Chinese city in Idaho. It's about, I think he said it was 50 square miles or something like that. It's huge.
Well, all the wealth, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be the strangest thing when I bounce this theory off you that some people have, that we're doing another paperclip type thing right now, because China's their ecology, their arable land, they've basically destroyed their ability to grow food and poison themselves so bad that if there's just a slight hiccup with our own crops, Nick, and we can't throw food over there, they'll have a famine and they'll have a revolt. So the richest, most influential, most powerful are moving over here. We're taking them.
Wow.
Why? Because it's way safer. The military is ironclad. Soon the grid's going to be up. The people will not be able to do anything about it. And that's how it's going to be.
But at the same time, I think our country is also facing its own brain drain.
Sure.
You know, because I think the people that really know what the hell's going on are starting to make plans to get, you know, getting the hell out of this country.
Well, if you can and you want to give up, there's an option. But the question is, where do you really go? And the only place that makes sense is South America, but that's being bought up too.
Shit, man. I think Africa would be the safest, although at the same time, it's the most dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Your life expectancy will not be
– you may not be killed by – in World War III, but you'll be killed by some other means.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time and the wrong people are around, you're not going to do well over there.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, the people at large can stop this thing from happening. We can stop all this bad stuff with ideas like you were just saying about starting up these warehouses, gardens, and places for people to live and work. Because, you know, the whole thing is that the economy that we're living in right now isn't actually real. it's not a real economy. We're not living in a free market. We're not living in a voluntary type of economy. You know, we're kind of living in this society that's dominated by corporate interests, propagated by government, and controlled by propaganda, man. It's not – we don't have any truth in our advertising. There's no truth in our products. Everything is made with all these weird chemicals that they don't bother telling you what they do, because if you found out, you wouldn't eat the stuff anymore. So what we need to do is like just keep building on these new ideas, these open source ideas, organic ideas. I mean, that are just much better and more truthful, and in the end, once we start perfecting these ideas, they'll become more cost effective and more convenient for people eventually. You know,
they'll become the norm. I mean, the thing is, the GMOs and conventional farming and factory farming doesn't benefit us. It's just because we buy into this mindset that farming is really, really hard work. And that it needs to be done really cheaply and profitably, or else it's not worth it for the people to do it, when in fact machines do almost all of it. And the reason why it's being, you know, basically pushed into three or four mega companies is because they're just making just such huge cheap yields of garbage food now that traditional and organic farmers get squeezed out. But the great thing is that farmer markets are booming. Organic markets are booming, even though mega giants are buying up organic brands. It's easy to find out when that happens and then just stop buying those brands, you know, and buy local. And then it shifts the money away. And then when there's organic farms around you that get big, maybe they'll get bought out, but maybe not. You know, the hope is that at some point these guys stop selling out. They're just like, nah, I'm good. I want to make money for me and my family forever. I want to actually do my part to help the food supply.
Yeah, man. We talked about taxes being a big form of civil disobedience. Now, another form of civil disobedience, in my opinion, is buying local, man. Just consciously saying, look, I'm not going to shop at Walmart, even though I do support the workers at Walmart and I wish that they did make more money. But I'm not going to shop at Walmart, because where do most of the profits go? Well, they don't go to the employees that much, because the employees get paid nothing. The profits go back to the corporate headquarters, and it goes to make money for these dudes that are already very, very rich, and they don't care about my community, and they're not putting the money back into my community. Yeah, they have PR stunts. You know, every now and then there's a PR stunt. Oh, look how nice Walmart is. They did this for these people. When in reality, that's a tiny fraction, not only that, but it's also a tax write-off. It's not even like they're doing it to help people. It's to do it for a tax write-off, dude.
And if you want to see where the money went, go to Bentonville, Arkansas, and see where their major headquarters is, and then all the McMansions all over the place. Because if you're working at Walmart's headquarters, you know, you're obviously in corporate, so you're pulling a lot of money for Arkansas, right?
And believe me, they probably pay like no taxes over there too.
Oh, well, 15%, just capital gains. That's it.
Hey, look, don't pay taxes. Just feed it directly into the governor's bank account.
Well, yeah, just feed me directly Walmart stock, and it will be sold immediately, and I'll only be taxed 15%.
Yeah, and then also, it's also a publicly traded company, so it's probably also owned by the, you know, usual cast of characters, the Goldman Sachs of the bunch, you name it, dude. The people that own Monsanto, the people that own pretty much everything, probably own Walmart as well.
Yeah, I mean, they all invest in each other, and they prop each other up through the stock market, and they use Wall Street as leverage on each other. You've watched the movie Wall Street and all kinds of other movies where these guys kind of shark each other and feed off each other, and they're cannibalistic in that way. And they do a lot of corporate raidership, and people lose jobs, and jobs are offshored, and all those other things as a result. So the thing is, just it's opting out. If there's anything we always talk about every time, it always almost ends up, is that if you want to fight a war with people that have weapons from the future and you have a semi-automatic rifle, good luck. The best way to do it is just change everything slowly and surely, the way they've been trying to do it on us. Feed it right back to them and have them lose this next generation. And once the next generation's lost, and it looks like it is already for most of them, what can they do?
I mean, that's kind of the goal. you know, about spreading the info is hoping that we can affect the people and the kids, the younger people, man. And we're trying to push into Instagram now at the anti-media, because that's where all the younger kids are at right now. You know, the people on Facebook are basically like 24 years old and up for the most part that are on Facebook a lot. Yeah, everyone has a Facebook account, but these younger kids don't really use it anymore.
Right.
You know, so we're trying to push into Instagram and all this stuff, but the youth is where it's at, man, and they have every generation has a better chance than the one before it to make a bigger difference, man, because the technology keeps improving and the society keeps evolving. I mean, think of it back in the day. I mean, you know, my parents were able to be in a interracial relationship back in the day, man. That wouldn't have stood,
right?
You know, and over time, the society keeps evolving, and people just become. It seems to me like society naturally just gets better and better, even though there's just the problem is that there's just this huge gap between what the society is really doing and what all this superficial propaganda and media and all this, you know, theft going on that's hidden. You know, that's what's messing it up. If it weren't for this all this other side of things, which is basically a parasite living off the back of humanity, I mean, I think we'd be in pretty good shape. I mean, we'd probably be exploring the solar system we'd probably be outside the solar system at this point if it weren't for a lot of these factors.
And who's to say we're not? You know, it's so much suppression already that we're not already doing those things. I mean, nobody really knows. Nobody knows what the state of the real technology is for what the people at the very top have access to. They may be using gates. We don't know. There's always rumors and whispers that there's already a moon colony, and there's probably already a Mars colony, and there may be one on Europa, which is a – you know, the moon of Saturn, they say that has the underground or underwater ocean. I mean, there's always these rumors, and these amateur people that look up in the sky with stuff can see stuff now that they're probably not supposed to. And they put pictures on the internet and are quickly discredited. So there's lots of glimmers of proof out there that things are way, way more advanced than they seem.
Hey guys, before the show comes to an end, I did want to get to this last point. And this was on the front of Drudge Report. Everyone's been noticing it. food prices are on the rise right now.
Yep.
And of course, the scapegoat is the California drought. Which is most likely why this drought's been hyped up so much, because they were planning on using that as a scapegoat. But anyway, the prices of vegetables and fruit, some of these things are up like 15%, 25% for some lettuce and things like that. Beef is up, all the meat is up. And now, right now that it's spring, this is why I really wanted to mention this before the show ended. It's still springtime. It's not too late to start up a garden, and get some stuff growing and just have a bit of, preparedness, I guess you could say.
Right.
By having a garden, and a garden's a great way, and a garden's a great start to start bartering too. So if anybody wants to get serious about bartering and stuff, I mean, start a garden or locate some fruit trees that are going to waste nearby. Because I know around here there's actually a lot of trees that people just let the fruit, like, you know, it just goes bad on the vine because they don't pick it. You know, right. It's like, dude, I can go pick. There's a lemon tree right around the corner that literally has like almost 100 pounds of fruit on it. And I can probably, if I went up there and asked that lady, they'd probably let me have it if I gave them like 10, 15 bucks or something, or maybe, right, maybe even for free. They might think I'm doing them a favor. Who knows? Then they don't got to pick it up off the ground after it goes bad, you know, because a lot there of people, because right now everyone's still in this bubble thinking, nah, I don't need that damn tree. It's just a damn lemon tree. It's a problem. I got to clean that shit up when it drops the fruit on the ground. You know, people think of it as like a bad thing. It's like, dude, you know what? Those lemons like acid, that shit's so valuable. You could use that for a lot of things.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, lemon has a million uses, dude. So it's like, at least in where I'm at, this used to be where they grew a lot of lemons. So I mean, there's a bunch of, when they cut down all the lemon trees to build up all the houses and apartments and stuff, they left a lot of the trees in the backyard. So even though people have small backyards, they normally have like two or three fruit trees in each one, and they're all like old and established from like the 40s, 30s, 40s. So it's like you've seen my orange tree in my backyard. It's like old school. but it puts out a lot of oranges, man. So, I mean, that's a great way to start bartering is with food. Growing some food, getting some trees going. I mean, why not? Now's better. It's better time now than ever.
Through the stereo, yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.